Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
Oh, my.
And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged.
25 years ago this month, Frasier made its debut on NBC, and over the course of 11 seasons, it became the most decorated and honored comedy in television history, racking up 37 Emmy Awards. Our next guest on the program played producer Roz Doyle for 11 seasons on Frasier and joins us to take a look back 25 years. We're thrilled to be joined by actress Perry Gilpin. Perry, thanks so much for being with us.
How are you?
I am just great. Although I got to the phone late, I wanted to answer it KACL. I thought it would be my only chance to do that.
Well, if we call back.
No, this will be great. Thank you so much for making time for us here.
Of course. I'm thrilled. I'm so happy to hear from you.
Well, we just had Mark Freeman on the show yesterday who did the wonderful piece in Vanity Fair.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Isn't he great?
He's terrific. We've had him on. He did the MASH retrospective and Newhart, Taxi, and every time we have him come on to talk about it, it's wonderful.
He's really, I felt like over the years, I've read a lot of articles about Frasier, of course, and I just felt like he made me think of so many, he sort of connected all the dots. That's what it is. For so many years later, for it to feel so fresh and like and very authentic, I didn't expect it to be that way, you know?
Well, it's shocking to me to think that it was 25 years ago. Where did that time go?
I don't know. I do not know. I'm shocked, too.
Well, if we can, let's go back to the beginning, and Mark points it out in his piece that the chemistry with Kelsey Grammer was so great. How long did it take to get to that point where you had that almost unspoken language with each other?
Well, you know, I think it was the first time I've ever been asked that question, and I love it because I'm glad that I've never heard anyone talk about that. And I appreciate you saying that because I feel like I met him. I did the fourth to the last episode of Cheers, which was just a couple of weeks before, it wasn't very long. I mean, they finished shooting Cheers a couple of weeks later because Jimmy had like several shows going at one time. He was trying to finish up one episode and pre-shoot the finale and then shoot this episode we were doing. He had so much going on, and it was fascinating to watch. And I met Kelsey that week, and Kelsey and Ted and Woody and John and George, they all did this thing, and it was funny, but they would make spitballs and throw them at you during your scene. And you can see them. You can see them flying at me in that scene. And I loved that kind of thing, and I loved how naughty they all were and how much fun they were all having working together and just with anyone that came in. So I enjoyed myself a lot, but I didn't get to know him very well. I had read for Frasier, but I didn't want to bring that up and talk about it or anything because I thought that might make my week less comfortable and certainly maybe his, so I didn't bring it up. But it was like, it was fun to see him work. And, you know, I've always just thought that Kelsey was such an amazing actor, even before, you know, in the 9 years of Cheers that I watched him. So when we started working on Frasier, he just jumped in. You know, there was just an immediate thing that actors do that just sort of says, we have to create a history here, so we've got to open ourselves up in that way so that you can believe there's some kind of a friendship or relationship here. But the cool thing about Roz and Frasier is they had really just met, too. He hadn't been there very long. So we could kind of get to know each other in real time.
But what made it so great, it was one of the few relationships on that show where he was in a subordinate position. You got to tell him what to do.
Well, and that's what they needed, you know, and that's what they, I think that's what they wanted was for him to feel completely like a fish out of water and have somebody there who knew the ropes and was like going, come on, you got to do it this way, you know.
Yeah, I
so
think
it was fun to be able to be the authority.
Obviously, the writing was so great on the show, but I watch it and rewatch it because it holds up so very well. And I think of the rules of improv. I do some improv comedy, and the idea that you want to set your scene partner up to get the big laugh. And I feel like this whole ensemble is working with that same concept, that you're trying to make everybody around you look good. And when everybody's doing that same thing, you all get to shine.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that was one thing that everybody was really good at, you know, just technically speaking, setting each other up and supporting each other and helping set the stage. And like Jimmy and Kelsey worked with Jimmy for a long time. And he sort of teaches you this thing because, you know, you're in front of an audience. And all of us, all of the cast of Frasier came to Frasier from a theater background, which is that you know your lines and, you know, you don't mess up. But sometimes you do, and sometimes you do on stage too. But also sometimes changes come in late, and it's really hard to learn it. So if Jimmy saw that you were going to blow the laugh line or blow the joke or, you know, blow the what you were leading up to, he'd just go, no, he'd make up something. No, stop. Oh, my gosh, the camera didn't, you know, he'd save it. And then he'd give you a fresh run at it so that you could make that work the way it had been rehearsed or just in a way that would work. And it was so great because we all learned to do that, you know, for ourselves. If we saw it kind of going sideways, we could say, hold on, you know, oh, I stubbed my toe. Anything to kind of start the scene over again. And I think that really helped to keep it fresh with for the audience not to have to hear the laugh line over and over again. You know, they heard it fresh in the way the writers meant for them to hear it, you know?
It sounds like, though, too, there was a pretty unusual level of collaboration between the cast and the writers, that they wanted your input.
Yeah, there was a thing that we would always do after each scene during rehearsal where they called it the powwow, and we would all just stand and talk about the scene we just rehearsed. And there was this natural thing that the writers would do where they would say, it's us, you know, we didn't make that word, we need to make that word in the word, you know, and we'd say, no, I didn't play it right, you know, no one blamed the other, everyone took it on themselves, and because there was just a huge amount of mutual respect among everybody there, especially for their ability to do what they were there to do, and I think that can be hard to achieve in a sitcom or television show, because you're separate. You know, the writers are in the writer's room and the actors are on the stage. And so, you know, all you had to do in these meetings was say, what about this? And the writers could say, well, we tried that, but it doesn't help us over here. And then you can talk about the domino effect of everything, you know, so that then the actors begin to realize, oh, I bet they've already tried this. They put this here for a reason, you know. And the same when the writers would say, excuse me, I just got over a cold. The writers would say the same thing. Why don't you try this? And we could say, well, we just tried it in rehearsal, but it doesn't work because of this, this, and this. And then you could sort of collaborate in that way and realize, you know, you really do need each other to come up with a solution to this one, you know.
We're talking with Perry Gilpin here on Downtown, celebrating the 25th anniversary of Frasier. The show did go off the air after 11 years, and as viewers, we want to assume, we want to believe that the cast members are as close as their characters are on the show, but that's not always the case. But it sounds like your cast was even closer than most and have continued to remain very tight friends, business partners in some cases, and that relationship has continued strong.
Yes, and you mentioned Mark Freeman, who wrote the oral history for Vanity Fair, and who was so much fun to talk to. And he said it the best I've ever seen it, and it really is like that. He says they're like siblings, and you know, Jane and David and Kelsey and John were like siblings, just like siblings. That's the perfect way to put it.
Talk a little bit about John Mahoney, so talented, but what was he like to work with? What was he like as a person?
John was very, he quit smoking many times during the course of Frasier, but in the really very beginning, he decided he was going to stop smoking, and he'd been given a Bic lighter when he got a tank of gas at a gas station. So with his tank of gas, full tank of gas, somebody gave him a lighter. And he, when he quit smoking, he gave that to Jane, and he presented her with it because he was no longer going to need it, and he wanted to make sure it didn't go to waste.
That's wonderful.
It just cracked me up because he was so frugal and so, you know, everything was just came down to don't waste anything, don't take, you know, he was so, what is spare? I don't know what, you know, he didn't want a bunch of things, and he kept things very simple in his work and in his relationships. And it was just always so you could depend on what it was so, I don't have my word. Consistent is what I'm trying to think of. Mm. It was just such a consistently kind, funny, you knew what would rile him up. You knew what would, you know, calm him down. You knew what would excite him and what would bore him. You know, you could just depend on him, you know, when we were at his funeral, his nieces and nephews were, came over and talked to us, and they were like, "Did he tell you about us?" Yes. So they wanted to know. They wanted to tell us a million stories about John, and they wanted to know the stories from our time with him. And he was just loved all over the place. Everywhere he went, he was loved.
All right, now for the dark side of Frasier. Was Moose as big a pain to you as he apparently was to most of the cast and crew?
Okay, Rich, are you going to edit me, or are you just going to let me go on and on like this? I'm so sorry. Ken Levine and I did a blog, and I just assumed he was going to cut my answers, and he just let me. I'm such a talker. I have to learn to, you know, say it a little quickly.
No. This is radio. That's a good thing.
Okay, good. Okay. I love dogs. So, I always thought that Moose had a great personality. He was like a salty old sailor. You know, he didn't have, he was older. You know, he was 13 when we started Frasier, and he had been rescued. And I don't think he'd had a great past. I don't think, and no one really knew much about his past. So he had that kind of personality, you know, and then I wound up adopting, he had two sons, one Enzo took over for him. And
right.
You know, color his hair and stuff. And then I had Moosey, who didn't want to be an actor. He just wanted to, you know, lay on the couch and eat treats. And that's what he did about 14 years.
You've stayed so busy in the years since Frasier went off the air. Done a number of series, starring roles and guest starring roles. You've done stage work as well. Is it important to you to keep growing as an actor, even having done it for quite a long time?
Yeah, it is. It's so funny that you say that. I just did this play, and you know, somebody asked me how long I've been doing it. I when I said it, I couldn't believe I was saying the number of years. But it never gets boring. It never loses its excitement to me. You know, I'll never have a job like that again. And we all knew it. We all really appreciated what a bird nest on the ground we had with getting to do a show we were so proud of with such amazing writers and such fun cast, and also everyone around us. All the writers were fun. We were close. We spent a lot of time together, even when we weren't, you know, doing the show. And so we all appreciated it. But you have to go on. And I think we've all gone on and had other great experiences. But I hope I'm doing it like John did, like right to the very end, you know, and he did. He was on stage until literally a matter of weeks before he passed away, and I know that made him happy.
Can you talk a little bit about the work you've done? I know it's important work to you with the Sarcoma Foundation of America.
Yes, my mom had a disease called leiomyosarcoma. And I really didn't know a lot about sarcoma then. And so I wound up meeting an amazing woman named Fran Bisco, who runs the National Breast Cancer Coalition Fund, which is a multi-pronged organization in Washington that works hand-in-hand with the government and with the medical community. And she's doing amazing things. But breast cancer is not a sarcoma. Sarcomas are actually like 10% of cancer, so they're very rare. And the majority of sarcomas are found in children, and which there's not a lot. I think there's not a lot of people living with sarcoma, just because it's such a rare disease. So it doesn't get the attention and the awareness and the funds for research that it needs. But things are getting better, and the Sarcoma Foundation of America is certainly a great place to go if you've been diagnosed or if you have questions. And they've been working very hard for, I think, about 15 years now to gather, the kind of information that patients can share with each other. Because I remember I talked about this once in like a column in the back of InCell magazine. I described my mom's illness, which was leiomyo, which they found in her spine, her upper spine, and they wound up removing two of her upper vertebrae. And the same thing happened actually with my sister. My sister's living with leiomyosarcoma, so that tells you right there that there have been improvements, but when people, I said this thing in this column that my mom had it in her upper spine, and then that they figured that it came from, her reproductive organs. And so this woman wrote me a letter and said, my mother-in-law had the same exact diagnosis, and they told her the same thing, but I've never heard it or seen it anywhere else. So it's that rare, like from case to case, and there are some great organizations like Wendy's Walk that help with sarcoma and help with, make people aware and raise money for research. And, the more people can get into contact with each other and discuss what they're going through and what their symptoms are and what things are working for them, the more they can, that's what these great organizations are about, is just getting everybody better and getting the medical community as much information as we can.
Well, we appreciate your work on that. By the way, my producer, Carrie, wanted me to make sure and ask you, from Roz's perspective, what do you do to keep an annoying host in line?
Oh, you have all the power, don't you?
All he's got to do is turn that mic down, and I'm done. So I keep telling him.
Yeah, it can happen accidentally. Spill something,
I'm looking through some of the credits here. Did you work with our friend Caitlin Fitzgerald on Masters of Sex?
Yes, I did. I did. Which I actually, a lot of my stuff was with her. And she was great. How do you know her?
Well, because she's from Maine, and we're based in Maine.
Oh, you guys are in Maine?
Yeah.
My friend is from Lewiston, but his family has this really great lake house on Long Lake.
Oh, yeah.
And so we went to visit him, and when we got there, we pulled up to the lake, and we went, this is exactly what we expected it to look like. It is exactly. And it turned out it's a Craftsman, but it was built by an architect from Pasadena, where Craftsman originated.
Wow.
It's actually kind of a California lake house on the lake in Maine, but it looked completely perfect to us because that's what we were expecting the lake house to look like. But it's beautiful. We spent a weekend in Camden, and we drove all around, and you guys have like the best kept secret in the country, don't you?
We try to keep it a secret as best can. Keep the riffraff out, But you're welcome. You're welcome here anytime. Thank you so much for talking with us. Great to have you on.
You are more than welcome. Thank you, Rich.
It's It's Perry Gilpin of Frasier celebrating the 25th anniversary of the show's premiere here on Downtown.